Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It only takes 2 minutes of sheer horror.
A new Paramount Plus original docuseries.
We were dealing with a serial killer preying on elderly women.
A cold-blooded killer hidden in plain sight.
He's suffocating people with pillows.
Leaving corpses all over Texas.
How did it happen?
I was responsible for her. The guilt is immeasurable.
They covered it up.
Pillowcase Murders, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.
October 19th, 2023. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning Five and Change. Believe it or not, a little bit late because we were digressing amongst ourselves. Shocker. But very important to let you know that I have a message for you. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. The brand that took your balls to space is now launching them into the ultrasphere. Introducing the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, featuring a new cutting-edge design and next-generation dual skin-safe blade heads for different shaves. It's pretty much a spaceship to take your boys downstairs to the next level. Join the 9 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the brand new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS. High tech for low places, Manscaped. Taking it on the go, Manscaped's got you covered. This puppy comes with a travel case and even a travel lock feature to avoid any accidental powering and or weird looks in the airport. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off. Free shipping with the code with the code BUCKNUTS at manscaped.com. Your balls have been through enough. It's time to go ultra with Manscaped. That was fun. And now we bring in our guys, Willie J. Kerlick and Mark Porter. Gentlemen, I jested with Bill before the show that Mark's going to have trouble getting a word in edgewise today because it's all Cruton, though he knows his stuff as well. We will talk a little bit about Penn State going forward. But first, Bill, please set the stage. Every season, Ohio State has one game that tends to outpace the others for visitors. Sometimes it's the game. This year, that's on the road. And so the marquee game is Penn State coming to town this weekend. A noon kickoff, not always the best start time to get maximum visitors. If you could generally set the stage, am I right that this is the biggest weekend? And go from there.
No question, it's the biggest weekend. Last year, there were two big weekends, if you remember right. We had Notre Dame to open the season. That was huge. Michigan to close the season. That was huge. This year, Michigan State's going to be pretty big. I mean, that list is growing, and it includes Jordan Seaton, so right there. Yes. But this one, you know, a big weekend for Ohio State, one of these types of weekends, you're going to hit 60 to 75 recruits in that area, depending on who can make it and all. This one doesn't help. As you mentioned, Dan, we've got a noon kickoff, and we've had some cancellations for various reasons. And part of the reason with some of the kids is the noon kickoff. They just can't get it, especially if you're a California kid. Yep. It's just really tough. In fact, I had one guy last night or the night before, I forget, tell me he didn't realize it was a noon game, that being Devin Williams from Buford High School. He didn't realize it was a noon game. And he had fully planned to be at the game all along, but when he realized it was a noon game, he just said, we play on Friday night. It's just going to be too tough to do that for me. So, Devin Williams won't be there. Faheem Delane, certainly we've confirmed he's not going to be able to be in Columbus this weekend. Just talked to Amari Winston again this morning, the H-back tight end from Georgia. Won't be there this weekend. He was hoping to make it. There's a few others that Philip Bell can't make it coming from California. So there will be cancellations. That's why you don't know exactly till the last minute. On the flip side, great, great list of players that will be there, led by Amaris Williams, the defensive edge, making an official visit this weekend.
Give people a little bit of knowledge on Amaris. He's kind of, as I followed his recruitment, I think I give the Gators credit for getting in there early, but I feel like he's a little bit of a late bloomer in that he's probably played better this year on his first, your senior tape has gotten circulated and people have jumped on board. Can you give us the latest on what you think of him and if there's a real shot?
I don't think he would be visiting this weekend on an official visit, and I don't think Ohio State would have him in on an official visit if they didn't think there was a real shot. I think there's a shot. Now, having said that, I can tell you that people at Florida still feel pretty confident that they're going to be able to keep him in their class. They may not feel that way after this weekend. We'll have to wait and see. I always say that I don't like to predict what a kid is going to do until he has at least visited Ohio State one time. In the case of Amaris, he has never been to Ohio State, so this will be his first time. You mentioned that he was maybe giving Florida credit that they jumped on him so early and saw something, and his recruitment has continued to blow up. He is a 6'3", about 265-pound stand-up edge type rusher who is extremely athletic. I think Mark talked about it last time about him in the backfield. I mean, one of his highlight films that I watched, I think the first or second play was him lining up at fullback and just crushing a guy, blocking him. So he's an athletic kid that plays on the edge and could be a defensive tackle even in college as he gets bigger, but he is being recruited as an outside rush guy.
Mark, you looked at him. You see that kind of edge potential?
Yeah, usually guys at 265, I'm one of the first ones to say what Bill does. They're probably kicking down inside. You see him at tailback, and he's got special feet. He's got special, agility to him at that size. So he's going to earn the right to stay at end as long as his feet let him. And I think that's where he's going to stay. I think he could be really a special one the way his feet are moving. Now, if he goes down inside, that may make him even more of a terror because you don't ever see guys with that type of tailback. He's actually making some cuts and, hitting some holes and has some vision. Derrick Henry and those guys ran around like that in high school at these bigger sizes and Brandon Jacobs. And if this kid said he wanted to try tailback, I probably wouldn't go for it. But there's a coach out there where they'll probably let him go for it. He's a unique individual.
I'll tell you what, this is my thing, with short yardage and red zone becoming so difficult across the board, and I really feel like at every level of football I watch, it's like a common thing now that third and one is no longer smash it in there. You've got the stupid bush push, brotherly shoves, crap. I'm not an Eagles fan, by the way. Maybe they can come up with some kind of goal line package for him. But, a guy with that kind of skills, they need to pull out all the stops. All right, we've got a ton of questions here. I'm going to ask a couple, and then we'll get rolling because the fans that want to speak. Bill, I've been waiting to hear from Dorian Brew, at least through you. Dorian Brew, of course, at one point in time rated the number one player in Ohio in the class of 2025. He moved here from Texas in middle school. He moved back to Texas to be around his pops. That made people think, oh, no, now he's going to be favoring one of the oil money schools. Bill, you talk to him. What's your vibe?
Well, I like to – whatever we say right now on this podcast, keep in mind that we've got – the rest of today. You've got all of Friday, and we've got Saturday morning. Things change. Like I said, we've already had, I mentioned a number of cancellations, and I didn't mention every one of them, but a number of them. Additions, I had been told that Brew was hoping to get to the Ohio State-Penn State game this weekend and would get there, but I always like to confirm as late as possible. So I gave him another call last night. He said, yep, I'm still planning to be there at that Ohio State-Penn State game. In fact, his team plays tonight. Conroe, Texas plays tonight instead of Friday. That makes it a great thing for Ohio State. He and his mom, by the way, is living in Texas with him. She's in Conroe now. Him and his mom will fly up to Ohio State on Friday morning, and they will be here into Sunday as of right now. That is the plan. So it's going to be an extended visit. And people have asked me more than once, does Ohio State still have a chance? Well, I like to say the old saying in recruiting, follow the visits. This will be his third Ohio State game this season. Right now, people are so worried about the Texas schools, and I'm not saying he won't end up at one of those Texas schools, but right now, he has no visits to a Texas school game planned for this season. The other only other visit he has planned as of right now is November 4th to the Arkansas at Florida game. So, you know, you do the math. This will be Ohio State game number 3 for him this season. No Texas school visits. And again, I'm not saying he can't end up at a Texas school. I'm just saying anybody that doesn't think Ohio State is a very real player for Dorian Brew is absolutely not giving the Buckeyes enough credit. And I talked to his Conroe coach, his new coach at Conroe High School, Coach Hardiman. Coach Hardiman right away said, hey, Ohio State, he's down here now, but they're a big-time player for his recruitment.
Yeah, and don't forget, his mom, I believe, is an Ohio State alum. Yep. And was a fantastic athlete there, too. So that always helps. And his Ohio ties hopefully will sing through. We want to also know if the Sanchez will be joining us this weekend. And, Bill, you don't have to call. I just asked Ms. Sanchez right there, and then she can answer herself here in the show. They are our number one fans. And
from talking to her yesterday, I'm very confident that that visit is still on. Very confident.
That's good to hear. And as I've told you, Bucknutters, you best be on your best behavior when the Sanchezes are in the house. We do not want to turn them away or emphasize the nut part of the buck here. As I said, Buck Rational Observer is not our name, so we've got to be on top of things. All right, let's get to some of these questions that they have for you guys, and there's a lot of them.
You know, on the boards, we had some questions about the Armstrong brothers at St. Ed's. And instead of going into a 2 or 3 paragraph reply, I simply said, hey, check out the show. So I saw the Armstrong brothers play Moeller last week. Breakdown coming, but let's preview them.
Okay.
I've been saying forever, they're twins. At the sophomore year, they're both 230, 240 pounds. And you look in the mirror and you see each other. And we've been watching them develop, and you know, one's a tackle, one's a guard. Having seen them recently, I can definitely say Deontay is skinnier than Devontae. Devontae's lower body is developing and getting a little thicker. They're no longer look like twins. They're starting to, you know, go in their own separate directions there. So the one who's playing guard, Devontae, he's got a little thicker, a little more meat to him. Looks like he's got a little more power because of it. You know, it looks like he's going to be a little – and Deontay, who's playing tackle, is the one with the lightning feet, and he's keeping that athletic maybe look to him a little more, still has maybe a little bit more of a tight end body, and maybe he's a month or two behind the lower body weight coming in like it did for his brother, and maybe they kind of, you know, sync up again at some point. But there's now a little difference in them. And, you know, I know people on the boards are, you know, I think – 5% of the Buck Nuts people want to know, just let us know if he's going to be the next Orlando Pace. And you know, that's all we want to, you know, we're looking for that guy. And the rational observers at Buck Nuts are just happy that we're going to, hey, these guys are positively trending in the right direction. They're trending in to be starters for us in a couple of years once they totally fill out. Most of the people are happy with that. But I think other people are looking for the next Hall of Fame type tackle. And it's really hard to say. I think that was kind of the question. Are these two the next great ones? Are they going to come in and, you know, solve all of our problems? Maybe things are looking good, but I'm not going to give them the Orlando Pace, Corey Stringer. Yeah, pencil them in freshman year for, you know, all Big Ten. So, but nice looking job. Ben Roebuck, big as can be. I know we don't care about him anymore. Moeller is not a great team this year. Okay, I know people were, you know, St. Ed's the best team. But I also got to see St. Ignatius and St. Xavier, and St. Ignatius isn't as great as those. I'm sorry, St. Ignatius is the one that's really struggling. Moeller looked a little better with Jordan Marshall. They held Jordan Marshall in check, which I'm not saying that because he's not coming to Ohio State anymore, but if I was in Ohio State making highlight films for him like I was last year, I wouldn't have the flashy plays that I did a year ago for a game.
Yeah, it's important to understand that when you get commitments like the Armstrongs as early as we did, they're developing prospects. You know what I mean? You gotta have a positive attitude, and you gotta let them develop. I know they weren't as highly rated as the others, but it's a twin killing right there, man. You can't pass on that.
Let me go back real fast. I forgot one thing. I talked about how there are cancellations, additions. There will be. It's going to be that way all the way up until game time. There was a big addition last night. I don't know if everybody caught it, but I posted this on our Front Row message board. Brian Hartline again, wide receiver Aaron Gregory from Douglasville, Georgia, class of 2026. Not every single player that's visiting Ohio State this weekend right now already has a scholarship offer from Ohio State. Aaron Gregory is one of those guys. You know, we talk about commitment watch. Well, there's also scholarship offer watch, and this guy is on big time scholarship offer watch this weekend. Aaron Gregory is a 6'3", about 170 pound wide receiver, class of 2026, out of Douglasville, Georgia. And you look at his offer list. I mean, it's just about everybody on there but Ohio State. You got Georgia, you got Alabama, you got Florida State. You got all the biggies on that list. So he's an addition to this visit list for this weekend, and he's definitely on my offer watch.
I also like the idea of going and bringing a Georgia kid up here and possibly taking him away from the Bulldogs. If there's one position we know Ohio State can recruit the earth at, and that is wide receiver. So if dude has all those offers and is coming up here without one, he's eager to get the blessing from Brian Hartline there, I think. That's
let
the
me,
receiver. Go ahead.
Let me correct myself a little bit. Because there were 3 and 4 o'clock games on Saturday, I might have said it wrong. St. Xavier played St. Ignatius, and Chase Herbstreit is quarterback for St. Xavier. So we'll have a few clips of him. And then Moeller was playing St. Edwards. That was a heavyweight fight there. St. Ignatius is the 1-8 team right now. They're struggling.
What?
And
St. Ignatius in Cleveland is 1-8.
Yeah, they actually went to overtime.
The Earthman.
Yeah, they had a nice overtime. They're still throwing haymakers. It's not, you know. Yeah, you know what? I don't know how many people are feeling sorry for them right now. And you know what, just in the breakdown last week, saw St. Francis de Sales in Columbus, freshman starting quarterback RJ Day. So, you know, Chase Herbstreit, a quarterback, RJ Day, quarterback. There's some guys we'll have in the breakdown this week that I'm sure Buck Nutters will care about.
Look, when you have any control over the football team, the coach's son or the guy in charge tends to have his son at quarterback. Mark, have you ever seen that happen? No. Neither have I.
Oh, I thought you were looking for the Grand Poobah.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I did see that somebody mentioned on that there is no Grand Poobah in Texas like exactly. We have one here.
No,
so
boy.
Santa's in the Brews, better take heed. You will not have Grand Poobah oversight should you choose to attend school in the Lone Star State. This is a good one for you, Bill. Raffles. Kind of an interesting name. Do you hear any chatter about future Ohio State quarterback Tavian St. Clair possibly transferring to a larger school from Bell Fountain to attract increased competition for his senior year? Bill, funny, you just saw Tavian St. Clair play. Was that, and you spoke to him, was that discussed at all?
Yeah, I did. I saw St. Clair play last weekend against Jonathan Alder, and I mentioned in the thread as I was watching the game, the thread to that, Bell Fountain did not throw the ball downfield a lot with Tavian until they got behind. Then he threw it downfield, and they went right down the field and scored what proved to be the game-winning touchdown with about 2 minutes to go in the game. So I just mentioned that you know, that it was a little, seemed a little conservative to me that night. Now, game plans change every game. So that was the game I saw, and that's, you know, what they did. Was it a little conservative? I thought so, but they won the game, and they played against a good Plain City Jonathan Alder team. So as far as him transferring, I guess I thought that question would come up sooner or later, and I can say that while I was at that game, I did not hear anything along those lines. But again, in recruiting and all that, and recruiting goes into the high school level now, as Dan and Mark know, that recruiting goes on for high school kids even. So I never say never when it comes to recruiting.
So I was at a college camp, and a college coach kind of whispered in my ear, and we're talking about rumors, and it was like a dream fantasy. He, you know, I guess posed to me. He said, you think Coach Douglas over at Springfield should be introduced to Tavian St. Clair today? And everyone kind of looked like, what a match that would be. You know, Springfield brought in a quarterback the year before that propelled them to the state championship. They had avoided the position. If you were to dream up a great situation right down the road, yeah, I don't think he's the type of kid that has to move. I don't think, you know, he has to prove anything. I think what he does in the summer camps, I think he's, you know, I'm not speaking for him, but I mean, they've proven their ilk, you know, and I know sometimes at a smaller school, fans, like they did for Samuel Williams Dixon, said, oh, we're going to like to see him at Pickerington North. It'll give us a warm and fuzzy feeling to see him go dominate Division I schools, and we will have no thing in the back of our head that said, well, he's only played in, you know, Amish country his whole career. So I get the question, but and I get the there are dream scenarios, but it'd be a tough thing to do for 1 year. And the relationships and stuff, it's the small towns, you know, it's tough to break those. And so he's going to be playing big time football soon enough. So, and you know what? I've saved watching him for the playoffs. So you'll get a breakdown out of him. Bill sent me, and we'll get another breakdown of him in a few weeks.
And Ohio State is absolutely all in on Tavian St. Clair, as is. He does not need to prove anything to Ohio State. They are 100% all in.
Yeah, I was talking to someone about this with a different prospect who is injured, and they were talking about him missing time, but he already has several offers. So and just like St. Clair, it's like being a tight, walking across a trapeze, but he's got a net. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you're walking across the trapeze without a net, or not trapeze, what is that? The tightrope. I'm sorry. Don't walk on a trapeze. But if you're walking without the net, it's one thing. Once you have your offer and his future is settled, I mean, Sam Williams Dixon, I guess it was a good move for him, but I don't think it affected
him. And Sam Williams Dixon was originally from Columbus, so it wasn't his sport. Yeah, like you'd have to pick up the family and move somewhere. And Bell Fountain's not exactly next door to a major city where St. Ignatius, St. Ed's, Akron Hoban, St. Mary's, Maslin. It's not like that. It's not like Maslin did with the kid from Copley, DeJuan Owens, and he came in and, you know, was their thing propelling them, you know, to the playoffs this year.
I mean, I guess technically Bell Fountain, they are covered in the Dayton newspapers. And I guess he can come play for Alter, but they don't throw the ball either. So, I mean, I think he's in good shape. All right, let's talk about this guy, Carter Lowe from Toledo. Mark has seen him. I believe he's coming this weekend, William. Your guys' thoughts on him and his I want to start this, Carter Lowe. Could he be on commitment watch?
I saw Carter play the very first game of this season. I saw him in camps, of course, and all that. Saw him play the very first game of this season. Mark, I think, saw him more closer to the middle of the season, I believe. I know Mark's seen him too. He will be at Ohio State this weekend, I believe, with his parents. This is either his second or third Ohio State game this season. I'd have to check to be 100% sure on that. And I've got him crystal ball to Ohio State. He did recently visit Michigan. So you got that one out of the way to go to a game there. So I would absolutely, the way recruiting is now, kids just very, very rarely go on a visit and just all of a sudden announce a commitment that day or the next day. I won't say it never happens because it does still happen on occasion, but that's not the norm anymore. So it doesn't happen like that very much. So I wouldn't necessarily say I'm going to predict that, but I do think whether it be in the next week or whether it be in the next month, that I still feel strongly that Carter Lowe will be a Buckeye. Like I say, chances a lot there.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
The time has come for drag queens to save the world. Drag queens
save the world. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars is back on Paramount Plus, and for the first time ever,
I want you to use your talent for good.
For a change.
8 iconic queens are competing for the charity of their choice.
This is how you do drag.
Who will slay it forward, win cash for their favorite cause, and a coveted spot in the Drag Race Hall of Fame? RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. New season streaming May 17th exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
This guy's name is so good that when Mark brought him up, I was actually hoping someone would ask a question. I think, what is going on in the room when you name your kid DeJuan from Massillon? Do you think he'll get a look from Ohio State? You got to be positive that he's going to be very good at sports. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, it's pronounced DeJuan. I was corrected many times that it's DeJuan, but there's no way that it's so much more fun to say DeJuan. I mean, even if it is.
I've been covering sports for 30 years. Seen plenty of DeJuans. Yep. Nobody has spelled it DeJuan. Please.
And it's one. And even if it is DeJuan, if you make it to the NFL, you change it to DeJuan as soon as you get there. And you tell all the announcers, we're now pronouncing it like this. It seems like one name in the NFL every year is that, but we're now pronouncing it different. Sure. So on this show, he is DeJuan. You know what? His statistics are crazy, like average, like yards per carry, the depth of what he's throwing. I mean, he really was a savior. I don't think he's Ohio State good yet. And I'm going to go see Massillon in the playoffs, and I'll give you the exact scoop. But I know a quarterback guy in town there that says there's no way he's a quarterback at the next level. He's an athlete.
Height, weight, speed.
Yeah, he's around 6 foot, 180, and I don't know that but he's not maybe 5'11". He's not exactly – he didn't come to be a college prospect. He came to be, what Massillon needed in their backfield, the dual threat guy that, makes that offense, really hum. But without seeing him, I'm not going to say definitively because, I could be wrong, but from the people I know that are covering those games, lights out for high school, will be a projection in some ways to college. If he goes to defense, a different position. But yeah, electric should be his other name. Excuse me.
Buck 80 is on fire today. Is Bo Jackson, the other one, still interested in Ohio State and how he's looked this year? And how has he looked so far this year? Either one of you.
Yeah, I'll start. I think Mark has seen – I know Mark has seen him this year too. I saw him a couple weeks ago. His team lost by a lot that night, and he played probably less than 10 plays that game on offense would be my guess. Only carried the ball 4 or 5 times, played almost the whole game on defense until the score had all the second stringers in for both teams. They lost, it was maybe 50-20 or something like that last night. But Bo Jackson is absolutely still interested in Ohio State. In fact, I talked to him again maybe about a week after that game, and I just asked him, describe your interest in Ohio State. He said high or highly. That was his word as far as his interest. So still very interested in Ohio State, absolutely.
He's been kind of injured, Mark.
Sorry, Dwan Owens is 6'2", 205 listed. When I stood next to him, he's not as big as me. I'm 6'2". So, yeah, like I said, I trust the guy that's been watching his games. Electric may have a chance, but he doesn't have that type of offer list right now to justify, like, hey, let's bring Ohio State in this conversation and bump their guy to the side of quarterback. Yeah. So for our purposes on this podcast, yeah, but he's still the answer. That could be his other name.
Bo Jackson. Mark,
you know, thoughts? After seeing him, you know, he rotates a tailback, and I know he wants to be a tailback, but boy, on defense, if you saw that breakdown, he made some plays on defense where he sticks his nose in there. He turned his speed up a notch and made some cross field rundown plays. I like him on both sides, but I'm starting to lean defense, and I don't know. I don't know his interest level because I don't solicit like that question as often, and I'll say this about Carter Lowe and Bo Jackson. I get unsolicited opinions on people telling me where they're going, where I don't have to ask for the information. People just kind of whisper. And I think that's maybe a better indicator. All indicators I got at Toledo Whitmer from the summer camps and from their high school showcase and from going to a games, everybody there told me unsolicited, Ohio State's the place. Okay. So take that for the grain of salt. Bo Jackson, I don't get that unsolicited. It's all Ohio State. It's whatever. It's insinuated, but I don't get the same warm and fuzzy walking out of there. So there's my true read on both situations.
Good stuff. Go ahead, Bill.
One thing I want to mention, I'm seeing a lot of questions and chatter, seems like more than ever today. And some of our people are talking to D. Sanchez, Devin's mom and all, and a lot of chatter there. And I will say that if you look at this visit list this weekend, if you want to put the ranked guys, there's nobody bigger than for the class of 2024 than Jeremiah Smith coming. He's the number one player in the country now. If you look at the class of 2025, to me, I don't think you can say there's anybody any bigger than Devin Sanchez. He is that good. I mean, he is absolutely everything that the hype says he is as far as cornerbacks. And then you look at the class of 2026, that guy's coming, and there are some great, great players coming this weekend for 2026. I mentioned Aaron Gregory got added to the list. Wide receiver Jabari Brady is coming back for his second Ohio State visit for a game this season. But if I'm going to be at the very top of the list, and there's some others, Maxwell Riley and Sam Greer from the class of 2026 are going to be at the game. But it doesn't get any bigger to me than the guy that's committed to Ohio State, Chris Henry Jr., is going to be at the game. So, there's three guys right there that I mentioned, Jeremiah Smith, Chris Henry, and Devin Sanchez. And two of them are already committed to Ohio State. Do the Buckeyes get the trifecta and get Devin Sanchez too? Well, we'll see, but I wouldn't bet against Ohio State, that's for sure.
Far be it from me to politic for Ohio State on this show, but I would think Devin Sanchez could find some competition in practice if he's going up against Jeremiah Smith every day.
Good point.
I would think iron sharpens iron, I believe the term is, so... I'd also say that if you're looking to get in there and get some veterans to go against, the old duo of Ennis and Tate made quite the appearance this past weekend. I think we're going to need them to make another appearance this coming weekend. We will all pick the game here at the end. There's been a request for that. Mike Schaefer, clearly a guy who thinks clearly. I don't know if I need two clearlys there, but. There we go. More Devin Sanchez love. You're going to want to cut and paste this show. all right. We'll get one more question in here, and then we will both all pick the game. So I'm giving you guys a chance to think about that. Okay. There's actually a lot of good discussion here about history of these games, but the problem is I don't think any of these guys would be able to do it. All right. I think let's just go to it. Bill, you go first. Penn State comes to Ohio State this weekend. We've talked about the recruiting implications. The on-field implications for Ohio State season are massive. You can make an argument that if they win this game, they are really close to making the playoff, in my opinion. I do think they'll be favored in every game they have for the rest of the year after this, except for the trip up north. And I imagine if the trip up north doesn't go the way they want it, I hate to say that out loud, but there's still a chance. This is an enormous game. It's probably bigger for Penn State in the grand scheme of things, and that they're trying to gain entrance into the tier that Ohio State and Michigan occupy atop the Big Ten by themselves. Don't kid yourself. Penn State is not among them yet. They have not won anything of ilk against these current dudes. I think, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but James Franklin's record is something like 1-9, 1-8 against these guys. So, at least recently. Big game, and there are a litany of emotional sidebars. This will be Drew Aller, Ohio native's first real big start. And it's going to be at noon at the Shoe, with more Ohioans cheering against him than ever have before. So that's a decline. That's the first time that's happened. I apologize. Can someone please tell my son at college not to FaceTime me during the show? Mark, make your pick.
Okay. Bill, I'll skip ahead, I guess. Having broke down a lot of film, I'm nervous about some of the Buckeyes' deficiencies. The O-line shows up, the running game's back, you know, injuries at receiver, injuries at running back. There are things that are sputtering. And the quarterback battle at the beginning of the year, we don't have a real clean takeoff to the season is what I'm saying. We've had to feel things out, find out who we are. The sparks and the electric moments are there, but breaking down the film, we're not where we need to be. Normally, when I have a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback like Drew Aller coming into a place like Ohio State, I shove my chips to the middle in Vegas and fire away and know that that guy has no chance. And eventually the turnovers and the three and outs add up and he can't handle it. And, as strong as Aller's arm is and as good as he may be over the next couple of years, this is not a test he may be ready to pass this early in the year. Penn State has one of the number one defenses in the entire country. That's what scares me. That makes a lot of offenses look human. And like I said, our runway on offense has been, we're up in the air and we took off, but it took a little longer to get off that runway than I think we needed. Part of me says that this is a blowout for Ohio State and, it's whatever, the home crowd and the emotion like Notre Dame goes in our favor. But part of me says this is 21-20. And somehow we're kicking field goals at the end and scratching and clawing in the fourth quarter because that defense is maybe bending and not breaking. And I've said it before, the less possessions and a few more first downs make for a shorter game. That scenario kind of scares me. But I have two storylines that are writing in my head. And one of them is Drew Aller is not ready for big time football and the game just gets away from him. And the other one is the Penn State defense shows up. And we just, we're hitting and missing throughout the day.
Give a prediction on who's going to win and the score, please.
Oh, 21-20. I'm going to go with the win, and I'll predict that close one because I'm just a little bit scared. And I think everyone else has a real confident feeling, and I think it's low scoring. I think that Penn State defense is pretty legitimate, and, if we're missing a receiver, we might not be at 100% strength there.
William?
I'll echo a lot of what Mark said. I would be amazed if this turned out to be a shootout. I like how Ohio State's defense is playing, and in particular, how they have this year changed their philosophy slightly, and they have eliminated the big plays. I think it's going to be hard for Drew Aller or Penn State to consistently move the ball down the field and get touchdowns against Ohio State. I just think Ohio State's defense is playing too well and they're not giving up the big plays. So as Mark said, Penn State, I think has got a good, I know they have a good defense, so not going to be easy for Ohio State. Ohio State's offensive line still is not where I think all Buckeye fans would like to see it be. So I'm going to go with a relatively low scoring game. I'm going to go 24-20 Ohio State.
That brings me up. I talked earlier about how short yardage and red zone has become the two things I'm stuck on this year in football across the board. And this is low-hanging fruit and is obvious. It is so important to get off to a good start. I cannot put that into words enough. For example, let's say Ohio State takes the ball, scores a touchdown, three and out, and gets a touchdown. They're going to win. That happens. Because then you put Aller into guaranteed passing situations. You can cut loose a little bit. I think you take the stress out of the sideline a little bit. We have to get off to a good start. If it's Ohio State's offense, three and out, sputter, and they make some plays, and the crowd kind of gets to the – I mean, the crowd isn't totally behind this team yet in the classic sense. I think they'll get worried if they get off to a bad start. But I don't think that will happen. I do think that there are some plays saved for this. I trust in Ryan Day implicitly when it comes to the big games and his game plans. I could make an argument that even the Michigan one last year had some guys made some catches when they should have, would have actually worked out, but I digress. I'm going to go with Ohio State 30, Penn State 20, and I think that will be, it will be 30-7, 30-10, 30-20 kind of thing. I just think Ohio State has a chance to show their offense can really open it up. I would not be surprised to see one of the freshman receivers, that being Carnell Tate or Brandon Ennis, absolutely explode in this game. If Emeka Egbuka, that's Egbuka, not a very hard name to pronounce, Coach Franklin, does not play, and I don't think he's going to play. So I'm going to go with Ohio State 30, Penn State 20, and a wonderful weekend for the Sanchezes in Ohio. Let's hope they travel safe and all other people travel safe. Everyone coming in travel safe. It is a huge weekend for the Buckeyes. Make sure you are locked in here. If you have not subscribed to this YouTube channel, we are about to hit 10,000 subscribers. Be the one who gets us to 10,000, and you will be a legend. Dave and I are going to do something fun with the podcast when we hit 10,000. I'm not sure yet. Some extra show for the fans, but we will figure that out. Make sure you are there with bells on. Bill will be there to report on everything after the recruitment, and it's a stockpiled weekend. They will be on the road Friday night. Got more of that stuff for you coming, so lock in, Buck Nutters. Going to be a big one. Have a good one.
Bright shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.